So for those of you, which is many of you, who are involved in the Essential Jesus readings, this week were readings about prayer. And one of them was actually a slightly different version of the Lord's Prayer in Luke. And there was also a passage from Mark, the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, written by one of Jesus' disciples and sharing of the life and ministry of Jesus as he was getting going. And I'm going to share from that, Mark chapter 1. So if you want to follow along in the Bible or just watch on the screen. But this is happening in the town of Capernaum. He had been preaching there. The people were amazed at his teaching. And then he started healing people as well. And it says this, starting in verse 27. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders. The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. After Jesus left the synagogue, where he had been doing the teaching, with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Okay, Simon and Andrew were brothers. They were from Capernaum. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. I'll just pause there. We sometimes sort of whitewash the whole thing so much that we don't realize that, oh, Simon, who was also Peter, he had a wife. He had a mother-in-law. They had more than all that's, you know, we have the important story here, but there's always more. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So vacation. I just got back from one. You might think, well, wow, Dirk's looking sort of tan. Maybe he was on one of those vacations. Well, I was not. I was on the, no, we're not there yet. I'm sorry you have to go to the bathroom. Don't spill that in the back of the car type of vacations. But it was a great vacation. But I was thinking about vacations and all that they promise, and especially a vacation like this. Go to this island, go on this cruise, and all your stress will melt away. And then, a little bit after that vacation, you realize it didn't do what it promised. I'm sort of disappointed because I still have stress. Well, the vacation, while you're on it, is quite nice. But if your stress is about debt, well, the vacation just added to that. If your stress is about diet, your vacation just added to that. Vacations don't necessarily do all that they promise. But if you have a reasonable expectation, hey, it's time away, I can stop thinking about things, vacations are great. But we have to have realistic expectations and know what they do and don't do. Because we will get disappointed if we have the wrong expectations. And with Jesus, you know, people will say, oh, trust in Jesus and he won't disappoint. You will not be disappointed in Jesus. Is it true? Well, yes, if you understand Jesus correctly, if you know what Jesus is doing. But otherwise, Jesus can disappoint, can be a shock to our systems, just as it was a shock to the disciple system. When Jesus disappointed, he didn't do what they expected. Mark chapter 1. Jesus is a no-show. Everybody's down in town waiting for him. Man, last night you should have seen what he did. They went and got friends and they brought him back and the crowds probably grew. And he didn't show up. He wasn't even there in the morning when they knocked on Peter's house saying, oh, hey, let's see this Jesus guy. Is he up yet? He didn't do what the disciples expected. And that's not the only time. Jesus regularly disappointed the disciples. Nope, that's not what we're doing right now. That's not what I'm about. That's not mine to give. Jesus had to clarify these things. We need to know Jesus so that we can experience the fullness that he offers, but also avoid the disappointments that can happen. So I want to look at Mark chapter 1, a red letter version. Some Bibles, they print the words of Jesus in red letters. And so here it's all black with here are the first words. And so I've shared these before. The first words in Mark, the time is promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. So Jesus starts off. The first thing that's recorded that he says in Mark's gospel is, hey, God's time is now. Turn from your ways and turn to God. And then the next thing it says in red letters, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. He calls people to follow him. He calls his disciples, saying, I'm going to change your life and what you're about. The next is actually of that talk of casting out demons, which is hard for us to understand today because we don't live in those realms, in those worlds. But Jesus cut him short and said, be quiet, come out of that man. So Jesus is containing evil there. And then we hear, we must go on to other towns as well. And I will preach to them too. That is why I came. It shows what his purposes are. A really important part of understanding Jesus. He's taking the message to those who don't have it yet. So he says, well, hey, we've got to go to other villages. And I can sort of imagine the disciples saying, but I like it in Capernaum. This is my hometown. We're famous here. Look at all these people who are gathered. My mom's here. You know, my wife's going to be upset if we leave and have to move. This is comfortable. This is what I like. This is where we are. But I have been to Capernaum. And this is what Capernaum looks like. Capernaum is an archaeological site today. It's dead. The town no longer exists as a live, functioning town. So stop for a moment and say, what if they had just stayed in Capernaum? The whole message, all that Jesus came for, the way, would be dead. It has to go out. It had to go out. Things come and go in the world, but the Word of God, the message of Jesus, who Jesus is, stays consistent, but it has to be sent out. It has to go out. It can't stay in Capernaum. Jesus disappointed the people who were looking for him. You know, all those people who had gathered and seen amazing things. Think of it. Do you think he healed everybody that night? There were people who said, well, I'll just come back tomorrow. Or I'll bring somebody next week. There were people who didn't get healed because he went on. They were disappointed. His brand new disciples, he had just called them and said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Their fishing nets were really close to where they were in Capernaum. The brand new disciples saying, this is awesome. Look what I signed up for. I left my dad's business and now all these people are coming to us and wait, we've got to go to villages where they don't know us and they might not like us. Jesus disappointed because they weren't focusing on what Jesus wanted. He knew they couldn't stay in Capernaum. And each one of us must be willing to leave our Capernaum, our comfort zone, our safety zone, where we know how things work, where we like things as they are. Once Jesus had disciples that knew and understand his purposes, once these messages of his stuck with them, they knew he was the one to follow. In life or death, riches or poverty, fame or obscurity, wherever they would go, he was the one to follow. As Rhonda shared last week, He was the one that allowed them to participate in eternal life now. A life that's not at a beginning or an end, to be transformed into that type of life. A life of eternal significance. When you have Jesus in you, when Jesus is Lord of your life, when the church is what the church should be, believers coming together to be Christ in this world, fitted together in maturity, there will be those who are disappointed because they're looking for the wrong things, expecting the wrong things. But more importantly, when we're individually and as a church together focused on Christ and His purposes, we can give to others real hope, real joy, real comfort. This is what Emmanuel Reformed Church is seeking to do in this community in the world. This is our mission statement. This was developed as part of the search process, saying, okay, well, we're starting on a new era. We're going to be bringing in a new pastor. Where should we be heading? What is God calling us to? And this is what the leadership of this church came up with. Emmanuel Reformed Church is a community of believers called to serve God. This is sort of boring. Let's all read this together. All right, say it out loud. Make sure you're awake. Emmanuel Reformed Church is a community of believers called to serve God. We seek to engage people in the life, joys, and work of the church, teaching and inviting them to become followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're seeking to do here. That's what we say, okay, if we've got to take away everything else, we want to serve God as a community of believers. I was looking at one of the other readings from this week in John 17. And Jesus says, it's a prayer to God. Jesus is praying to His Heavenly Father, I brought you glory here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. That's what Jesus was about, completing the work of God. And then, in verse 18 of chapter 17, He says, just as You, talking to God, sent me into the world, I am sending them, the disciples, out into the world. That sending of Jesus continues on, and it's continuing on to all who decide to follow Jesus. We are called to serve God. So each one of us must do our part. You know, when Sandy gets up here and says, we need Sunday school teachers, that's an invitation to serve God and do our part. When somebody says, I'd like to sing on a Sunday, I'd like to help participate in worship, I'd like to change the wax O-ring underneath a toilet, whatever it is, when we allow people to do their thing, and even if it's might not be quite how we do it, when we allow people to use their gifts in the church, follow their passions within the church, we're allowing people to serve God, and we as a church are serving God. When we go out and reach others and invite others and talk to others, we're serving God. When we look at that mission statement, we can hold things up against it. And if somebody is disappointed in this church because we're not serving God, that's a legitimate disappointment. If someone's disappointed in this church because we're not engaging a wide variety of people in the life, joys, and work of the church, that's a legitimate disappointment. If we have people coming to the leadership saying, you know, I am disappointed because, you know, we're not having any new people come to this church, that is a legitimate disappointment because these are the things we're supposed to be about. But if somebody says, I'm disappointed with this church because they picked purple carpet instead of green carpet, that I can understand. We all have personal preference, but we're not the church of personal preference. And it's okay. I'm not saying, oh, don't ever say your personal preference. Say, oh, boy, I would have preferred green rather than purple. But there's a difference between, hey, this is what I would prefer. We can all share that. We all have different preferences. But if we're disappointed with the church, let it only be about the things that matter. Let us only be disappointed because we as a church aren't doing what God has called us to do. We're not serving God, we're not engaging people, we're not following Jesus. Everything else, hey, let's work it out together. And how do we get from that personal preference to a focus on, okay, what God wants, what we should be doing, so we do not disappoint the one who matters. And that's the idea of prayer. Prayer is important in this. It's one of the reasons we have the gathering on Saturday night. I'll admit, during the summer, not a lot of people have been coming on Saturday nights. And that's okay, because it helps me focus. It helps Jennifer and I prepare for worship. And anytime you want to come and help focus and be prepared for worship and narrow it down, that's part of the reason for the gathering on Saturday night, is to help us focus on what God wants. Because prayer does a lot of things. Just quickly, looking at the readings from this week. Mark 1, Jesus, it's the first clamor of the crowds. And what does he do? He goes away and prays. Prayer can bring clarity. Allow prayer to bring clarity into your life of what's important and what's not. Next, in Luke 10, we can pray for help. If you're following along in your bulletin, or in the sermon notes, there are blanks for these. Pray for help. In Luke 10, it's the idea of Jesus sending people out. That's what he does. He sends people out. His message is to go out. Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them out in pairs to towns. And he says with these instructions, the harvest is great, the workers are few, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the field. Don't do it alone. Ask for help. We as a church can only reach so far. Lord, bring more people that we can reach more people. Pray for help. Prayer also helps us stay on track. I was reflecting on the version of the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. It narrows it down. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Help us with our basic needs, and then to stay on track, to be forgiving people, and to be people who are not led off in trials and temptation. Stay on track for what matters. And then finally, the strong prayer in Mark 14. Abba, Father, Jesus cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. We can be praying for God's strength and his will. Figuring that out, opening ourselves up to that, following that as the important thing. This weekend is actually the 6-month anniversary of me being here. I normally am not really good on this. I keep track of a wedding anniversary pretty well, but Jennifer keeps track of all other anniversaries. But this is a 6-month anniversary, and I know that because on Friday we finally had a thank you dinner for the search committee. So I think we wanted to wait and make sure we really wanted to thank the search committee. But it is Friday was the 6-month anniversary of my installation, and you know, now people are getting a little bit of a feel, a pretty good feel of who this Dirk guy is and what I bring here and how I minister. And I'm not exactly everyone's preference. None of us can be that. But I just want to say why I'm here. And why I'm here is to help people grow spiritually. That's what I'm about. And I see that meshing very well with the mission statement of the church. Because spiritual growth really happens when we are a community of believers called to serve God. We seek to engage people in life, work, and joy, or life, joys, and work of the church, teaching and inviting them to be followers of Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth, as we serve God and engage people. A lot of our spiritual growth happens in that engaging people, because people are frustrating. People are the best character builders out there. Because, you know, we're unpredictable, we're emotional, we're all these things. So when we engage people in a healthy, biblical way, whether it's the person in the pew next to us, the person in the house next to us, a coworker in the next cubicle, when we engage people as a church and as individuals, we are forced to grow spiritually. And all of this as we follow Jesus. I hope we can do this with all the means that God gives us, knowing Jesus well, following Jesus closely, hearing Him and His call to go out. His message must go out. Because eventually, Capernaum died. Eventually, every community, every town shifts and changes. Our message always has to go out as we serve God, engage people, and follow Jesus.